Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. By the time you're hearing this, October 11th, or any day after that, I guess, we will be right on the verge of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. This will be a festival kept from October 14th through 20th. And then October 21st, even though it's attached to the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, is actually another holy day entirely. Last week we talked about the Feast of Tabernacles. Today we're going to talk about the Last Great Day. The Last Great Day shows God's willingness, his patience with mankind, his willingness to resurrect all mankind and give them a chance to know him. A chance to finally understand all about the Bible, his way of life, salvation. They will finally have a fair opportunity to be converted. This is a belief, this is a day that runs contrary to pretty much everything believed by traditional Christianity, where 100 billion people approximately who have lived and died will be resurrected. This comes after the 1,000-year world tomorrow that we picture during the Feast of Tabernacles. And like I said last week, during that time, we'll just be dealing with survivors of World War III. But after that 1,000 years, we'll also be dealing with the rest of mankind that had lived and died before that. All of mankind, again, about 100 billion people. And at that time, they will have 100 years to choose life or to choose death, to choose God or to choose Satan's way. Even though he will be locked up, people will still have a chance to choose his wrong way. But first, they will be taught. This is so much more merciful than the God most people think of today, the false God. People usually think about the immortality of the soul, how when you die, you never actually really die. You just go to be eternally punished in a burning hellfire, or you have a chance to be saved and go to heaven, where you don't really have any purpose. You just sort of float around on the clouds. There are also false doctrines like purgatory, where you are kept kind of in a holding pattern before going into hellfire. All of these beliefs have absolutely no basis in the Bible, and they would condemn God as harsh and cruel and unmerciful. And yet, people usually who believe these things actually say that the true God, the God actually described in the Bible, is the cruel one. They point out how in the Old Testament, God wiped out entire enemy nations, especially when Israel was taking the promised land. But if you really understand God's plan, you would see that from a totally different perspective. Because if today is not the only day of salvation, and all those people who died that way in the Old Testament will actually have another chance, well, that really does make it totally different. They're not dead forever. They're not eternally judged and going to heaven or hell at the time that they first die. They'll have a chance again. And God, as the maker of all human beings, has the opportunity, he has the right to decide who lives and who dies. Also conveniently left out of traditional Christians' beliefs about the Old Testament God is what those people were engaged in when God decided to put them out of their misery. These were people who literally sacrificed their children into fire for a false God. These were people who engaged in all kinds of crass, perverted, immoral practices. And the more and more they lived that wrong way, the more and more they scarred their minds and were going to make it harder on themselves to change when God finally gave them a chance at the last great day or the great white throne judgment. So when you realize that every person who seemed like they were unjustly killed in the Old Testament, or every person around the world today who is living in perhaps a city of tens of millions of people in China, or maybe in a village in South America, totally cut off from the outside world, when you realize that everybody who has never even heard the name of Christ, who has never even come close to living the proper way of life that God would recommend, that they would all have another chance, when you think of it that way, it really does change the outlook. It really does change our entire way of viewing it. And we understand that God is merciful. And even when he has to put certain people to death for committing appalling sins, he understands that they will have another chance. That's the whole reason why he would put those people to death before they've heard the name of Christ, before they've had a chance to hear the true gospel message of the coming kingdom of God. So this last great day really is something that drives a stake right through traditional Christianity. It does crush so many arguments made by traditional Christianity. This is a day that shows God's mercy. And again, it is separate and distinct from the Feast of Tabernacles, even though it is the day after the feast is over. We have to remember that, and we have to honor that day and highly regard that day as a separate holy day. Now, there are a lot of instances in the Bible that prove that God is yet to give all of humanity a real shot at living his way. Acts 4 verse 12 says that there's only salvation in the name of Christ. Now, this does not mean that those who have never heard of Christ today are condemned. This is not giving a specific time frame for accepting the name of Christ. It doesn't say unless you accept Christ's name in the next few days or in the next few years, you have no chance to be saved. That's just what traditional Christianity reads into it. John 3, verse 16 says that God so loved the entire world that he was willing to sacrifice his only son, Jesus Christ. But why would he do that? Why would he sacrifice his son for the entire world unless the world was going to have a legitimate chance? I mean, if you just think about these missionaries taking place where traditional Christians try to go into a far-flung area of the world and convert people, they really aren't that effective, are they? They're not reaching everybody. After all, there are 7 billion people plus on the planet. No matter how many missionary journeys or trips these traditional Christians went on, they couldn't get to everybody. It wouldn't be possible. And so that really wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be merciful if the clock was counting down right now on all those poor, ignorant people who had never heard the truth. This is really something that is going to shock so many people in the future when they realize that, oh, well, I guess my opportunity wasn't over back then. I know I lived a really bad physical life and I scoffed at God, but I didn't end up in hell for that. Here I am with another chance in this second resurrection among 100 billion other people. This is a resurrection to physical life, This is not a resurrection to spiritual life where their character will be set. Like I said, they'll have 100 years to prove themselves. You can see that in Isaiah 65, verse 20, I believe it is. That really does show how patient God is. For 6,000 years, human beings have been failing miserably. They chose the tree of death because of Satan's influence, and they have submitted to Satan, the god of this world, for the last six millennia. They have gone their own way, which is really Satan's way, without them even realizing it. And they're miserable for it. That's why everyone is suffering so much in the world. And yet, God has been willing to wait this entire time so that they will be taught a lesson, so that they will know from extensive personal experience how their own ways never worked. 6,000 years of human history proves God right. And then he's willing to wait another 1,000 years as the survivors of the Third World War are rehabilitated and as they repopulate the earth during the world tomorrow. And then he's willing to wait another 100 years so that everyone who had lived and died before that time could be resurrected and have a chance to obey. This is very different from the world's teaching on the subject of salvation. They think, because of a mistranslation of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, that today is the only day of salvation. The translators purposely said that now is the day of salvation in that verse, but it should say now is a day of salvation. That one word changes the entire meaning. And they really did twist that verse, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, to fit their agenda. This is just one opportunity. The fall holy days and the spring holy days all put together really do show us. The spring holy days in ancient Israel were typed by a small spring harvest. That was a small harvest of people who would come out of the world, would have their minds opened by God himself, and have the chance to obey him. But then the fall harvest, which we commemorate in a way by the fall holy days, is a picturing all mankind having their opportunity, a much larger fall harvest where the entire world can be reaped. This is incredible. This absolutely transcends man's thinking on the subject. This is really beyond our ability to comprehend in terms of patience and mercy and love, that God could wait all this time and just witness the most vile, abominable sins taking place for thousands of years and still let those people, the very worst, even those like Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong, have another chance. He will let everybody have another chance because even the most evil people in the world still haven't heard God's message. They didn't know any better. And of course, they did a lot worse things than most of us have, yet they haven't known the truth. And so God is not judging them until they have a fair opportunity to know the truth. It would be like if you were at school and you were studying really hard for a history test, and then on the day of the exam, your history teacher comes in and gives you a calculus test instead. That wouldn't be fair if you were to be judged based on your knowledge of calculus when you've never even been taking that class all year. It would be impossible for you to do well on that test. Only with the correct information, only with God's truth, can we really be expected to live based on that truth, be expected to follow through on what God's word says. And so even the people who commit the worst sins today will have a chance at the great white throne judgment. They will be resurrected from the dead along with the rest of those who have died, and they'll all have a chance. Those who murdered others will be resurrected along with their murder victims. And we'll all have to learn how to be forgiving like God is. Think about that. Think about the Jews who died in the Holocaust, seeing Hitler resurrected there too. This is the extent of God's mercy. Now, of course, if anyone after that 100-year period, after their resurrection, chooses to do the wrong thing, then they will die. And that this time they'll die forever. They'll be resurrected in the third resurrection and cast into the lake of fire. But this just shows you God does have a specific plan. He does have perfect timing. He is extremely patient. He is looking to really harvest the entire world. But the reason he doesn't do it all right away is because a few of us are called out before Christ's return to support his work, to warn everybody else, to grow in God's character, to have a chance to marry Christ when he returns, and to rule alongside him over the entire earth and the entire universe. And we will be the teachers of the rest of mankind throughout the world tomorrow, the survivors of that nuclear war. And then in this great white throne judgment, when that 100 billion massive population is resurrected all at once, we'll be teaching them too. That's the only reason people are called out today ahead of time, and they have their minds open to the truth. So God's timing really is incredible. The fact that he's willing to wait over 7,000 years to reach minds, to save people's lives for real, it really is beyond what we can understand as human beings. But God is eternal. He's lived forever. He thinks of 1,000 years as a day. It's really like a blink of an eye to him. That's how patient he is. Think about in the future, all of your loved ones who maybe never were in God's church. You'll get to see them at the last great day. All of those who lived and died, your entire family tree, you'll get to see every one of them. You'll get to see all the carnal inhabitants of ancient Israel, the ones we read about in the Old Testament all the time, the ones who so often failed because they didn't have God's Holy Spirit. They were not capable of fully obeying him. And there are some stories that I'm sure they'll be embarrassed by that are recorded in the Old Testament for us to learn from. But we'll see all of these people who were never converted, who were never given a chance with God's Holy Spirit to conquer Satan, to grow in his character, and to be born spiritually just yet. Everyone will be given a chance in the right timing. Ezekiel 37 is a vivid picture of this resurrection. Ezekiel envisioned a valley of dry bones. And these bones came up from the dirt, and the muscles gathered, collected themselves around the bones, and human bodies were put back together from the grave. This is a picture of what the last great day will be like in fulfillment, where all of these people are resurrected at the same time. Maybe best friends, but also mortal foes, family members, neighbors, finally seeing each other again after being dead for at least 1,000 years, if not much longer than that. And I'm sure they'll be very confused at first. They won't understand what just happened. The last thing they knew, they saw blackness and they died, and they haven't been alive ever since. And then all of a sudden, they'll be surrounded by 100 billion other people who are just as confused as they are. So what a beautiful time this pictures. God really is completing his master plan with the last great day. And he really is coming full circle of rescuing and redeeming all mankind after that deadly decision by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They chose from the tree of death, and all mankind has suffered ever since. But very soon, they'll know the truth. Very soon, they will have an opportunity to obey God. They'll be given 100 years to prove themselves. Satan won't be around anymore to interrupt them or to derail them. And they will have a really great chance, an overwhelmingly great chance, to choose what is right and to live a peaceful, joyful life forever. So today we've been talking about the last great day. Thanks so much for listening. It has really been a pleasure to be talking about these fall holy days in the last several episodes. So thanks for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.